And joining me right now here on the phone line to preview the new season of college football is my good friend Matt Mershell with the Orlando Sentinel. Matt, how you doing today?
Pretty good. How you doing today, Mark?
Hey, every time last week I saw an update from UCF camp, you were popping up in other people's photos. And I'm like, where's the bow tie? What's going on, Matt? I need the update.
I had the bow tie on. I was there for football media day and I was rocking the bow tie. So it's season started. Now, during practices themselves, I may not wear just because it's a little too warm out there. But I had it on. I had it on for media day on Thursday.
How did that go there at UCF?
It was good. You know, I mean, listen. Obviously, there's a lot of expectations, a lot of high. A belief that UCF is going to have a good year. You look at the players they return. Obviously, the main storyline is going to be quarterbacks, and that would happen to be the case last Thursday. You know, Mikey Keene and John Plumlee Rice, John Rice Plumlee had actually to miss the beginning of media day because they were both taking a test. But, you know, they came in and spoke with the media and talked about the battle at quarterback and what it's meant for each one of them. And I think that's obviously a point that's going to be talked about for a lot of the time. And then, you know, Gus Malzahn came in and spoke a little bit about, you know, their expectations going into the season and what they would like to see happen. I know Gus would like to have that quarterback situation taken care of over the next couple of weeks to give his offense, you know, a time to kind of adjust to having one person in charge. And then, you know, we spoke to a lot of the players and a lot of the assistant coaches, you know, I had a chance to speak with Kobe Hudson and Javon Baker, you know, two players who grew up together and, you know, basically took similar paths. One was at Auburn and one was at Alabama and eventually wound up at UCF as transfers. And both those guys are going to probably be counted on a lot to pick up some slack on the receiving core. And, you know, Kamori Gamble, the new tight end, you know, from Florida, I spoke with him a little bit. So, A lot of faces, a lot of familiar faces, and I think a lot of expectations going into this season.
What did you think of Gus Malzahn? Where he's got the polo on, it says Big 12 on the side.
Actually, Gus wasn't the only one. Every assistant coach had a polo with the Big 12 logo on, and it just goes to show you kind of what their mindset. You know, Gus was asked about, you know, specifically about trying to keep everyone, you know, focused on this year and not looking ahead to next year. And he said that's not going to be a problem. You know, we want to win the conference, the American Athletic Conference, one more time. And, you know, they want to obviously go as far as they could possibly go. But let's not kid ourselves that, you know, UCF is going to promote and going to tout the Big 12, going to the Big 12 as much as they can, especially on the recruiting trail. And if you can wear polos that have Big 12 logos on it and you're seeing all those photos of Gus and his coaches and his, you know, if you could see that as well, I mean, it's only going to promote the program moving over to the conference as much as they can. So it was interesting. Obviously, it was pointed out, but you know, Gus said, you know, it's kind of where we're headed. It's the direction of the program.
All right. If I'm an outsider and I'm hearing all these headlines, like it feels like UCF's doing this, this, and this. What about winning football games on the field? Was that part of the discussion as well? Because I want them to win the conference this year.
Yeah, I mean, of course it was part of the discussion. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about, what they expect from them. You know, you look at the schedule. I asked them about, you know, I asked Gus specifically about this idea of, Cincinnati kicked the door open basically last year, being the first group of five school to get into the college football playoff. You know, I asked how much does that kind of add a little bit of fuel to fire for this year, you know, and he said it's great. You know, I mean, they obviously know what's going on. They feel like they've got an opportunity, you know, to do the same sort of thing. So without getting into specifics, I mean, you know, I think they feel like they've got a lot of talent coming back. They've got a lot of experience coming back. He's added a good mix of transfers as well. So, you know, and they start the season off against a South Carolina State team that they, you know, feel like can, you know, they got an opportunity to go out there and showcase themselves. So before they go and face, you know, a Louisville and a Georgia Tech down the road. So it's going to be interesting, but there were a lot of expectations.
I'm circling that game. I think it's a Friday night against Louisville. Is that a revenge game, Matt, after what happened last year on the road?
Oh, I'm sure there's a little bit of that. I'm sure they want to, you know, you look at what's going on, you realize. I think the bigger picture is, you know, you're looking at this idea of if you want to have an opportunity to play, you know, in a college football playoff scenario, you know, you've got to beat teams like that. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. Gus talked a little bit about, you know, Cincinnati had to be almost perfect last year to get to that spot. So, and I agree with that. You know, you're going to, as a group of five school, you've got to be undefeated. So, you know, Louisville comes to your house, you've got to find a way to win that game. And yeah, there's a little bit of added, you know, what happened last year based on, you know, losing in the last minute, you know, after leading that game. I'm sure there's a little bit of a want to do a little bit of payback as well. And, of course, it's beating another Power 5 a team from a Power 5 conference.
It's a great point. Did you see any of practice when you were out there?
No, actually, I didn't. I only did media day. I haven't been out to practice the last couple of days. I mean, again, you know, a lot of these the windows are so small, and all you get a chance to see is, you know, warm-ups and a little bit of some drills here or there. But just based on what I saw some videos, you know, out there, I mean, obviously this team, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of buzz with some of the players. Like I mentioned, Javon Baker, I mean, he's very athletic. A guy who a lot of the players I spoke with said he's a guy who could be a game changer. You know, he's that kind of a player. You know, Kobe Hudson told me he reminded him of a, you know, Jamar Chase. You know what I mean? It felt like he was a guy, but only better is what I think is what he said. Like, Jamar Chase, but only better.
Oh.
So that's a big compliment and a lot of expectation to keep on a kid. But, you know, again, it's an opportunity for that to come out and play. I think for me, it's the defense. The defense is going to be interesting. And it looks like based on what they did on their scrimmage yesterday, you know, that they were able to get their defense a lot of work. So it's going to be interesting. And I think once they get into that second scrimmage in the next week, I think that's when you start seeing some separation and you start getting some idea of what maybe the depth chart's going to look like going into the season.
Can we just take a second and just say, you know, like UCF's going to the Big 12, but the American Conference as a football conference over the last 5 years, it was pretty good, right? Like when you look at what they produced.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, it was the heyday. I mean, listen, there was no other conference. You know, the Mountain West kind of was that group of five conference, you know, with Boise State, you know, being there on a consistent basis, and, you know, and I think people thought that they were going to be the big group of five, you know, conference. And then the American comes in and you saw, you know, UCF take that tremendous step of growth, you know, and they, you know, between 2017, 2018, you know, even in a sense, 2019, you know, you saw UCF was one of the premier, you know, programs there. You know, Cincinnati starts to build on that, you know, and Cincinnati then takes over that realm. You look at what Memphis did during those heydays, you know, Memphis was able to kind of put together a strong showcase. And now you're seeing Houston being, you know, picked as the, you know, so there's three or four schools right now that are programs really that were, they kind of cut their teeth based on what they did with the American. And that's why when, you know, Cincinnati, Houston, UCF leave, there's going to be a void there. You can't avoid that. I mean, there's going to be a void. And, you know, so that's where you need the Memphises and the, you know, the Tulanes and the SMUs and East Carolinas. You need them to step up and fill that void a little bit. Yeah, you're bringing in some new schools. You're bringing in UAB and North Texas and some schools like that. But, you know, you need some of these established programs to get better and to fill that, to kind of step up for those other schools that are leaving for the Big 12.
We're here with Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. All right, you and me don't really talk recruiting. But when you see these headlines where UCF, Gus Malzahn, his staff for 2023 are getting four-star athletes, how big is this for the program moving forward?
Well, it's huge on two different fronts. I think, one, you look at the Big 12 aspect of it. I think you look at the fact that, you know, you're going into the Big 12. You're going to need to upgrade your talent level. Some of that comes down to when you're in a kid's home recruiting, that you're recruiting different players. You're recruiting players that normally would be looking at Power 5 schools. Now you're becoming a Power 5 school. So you've got to get in there and you got to get these kids. And you can now sell it with this idea of you come here, you sign with us in 2023, and you're going to be playing in the Big 12 next year. You're going to be playing against Texas, maybe. You're going to be playing against Oklahoma State. You know, you're going to be playing against some power schools. You know, so this is an opportunity to be showcased on a national stage, because the Big 12 is going to have a pretty good media rights deal. It's probably going to have a lot of games on national TV. So that's a good selling point. So that's one aspect of it. I think the second aspect is the fact that, listen, of these four stars, all these are local kids. Most of the, you know, you look at what they got. John Walker's from Kissimmee. You know, Andrew Harris is from Altamont Springs. Michael Harris from Altamont Springs. You know, Braden Marshall's from Lake Mary. Kevin Call's from Apopka. All these kids are local kids, area kids. And that's something that Gus said when he took the job. We're going to put a wall around Orlando. We're going to recruit Orlando really hard, and we're going to get these kids. Now, 5-6 years ago, for some reason, coaching staff decided not to recruit Orlando nearly as hard, choosing maybe to go elsewhere. But now Gus Malzahn's staff has said, we're going to recruit locally. We're going to keep that talent that would normally maybe go to a Florida or a Miami or a Florida State or even outside the state. We're going to keep it here, and we're going to try to bring them on board and see what happens. And I think it's going to pay big dividends for them, not just for the 2023 class, but for the 24, 25, 26 class, because the more you can get these kind of four-star kids and get those rankings up, I think the more people are paying attention to it.
It's very well said. We're here with Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. I've told you this for like the last year or so. From a consumer standpoint, Matt, it's like, oh, if you want to go see Florida State where we live, that's a five-hour drive. You want to see the Gators, it's like a three, maybe two-and-a-half-hour drive. Miami, 2.5 hours, 3 hours. I could see big Power 5 football in my backyard. We've never had this before. If you're interested in going to a game, you're a casual fan. That's what gets me excited, Matt.
Well, yeah, that's something Gus Malzahn talked about on Media Day was, you know, this idea, even if you're not a UCF fan, if you're just a college football fan and you live in the city, or you live in Central Florida area, you live in Orlando, he wants that, you know, UCF to be that team. He wants you to go to the games because you're going to see good football. You know, you're going to see, I mean, there's opportunities to see some great teams, you know, and I think, you know, when you think about next year, you're looking at a schedule that, you know, could have Oklahoma State, you know, like I mentioned, Kansas State. You know, you could bring in, you know, who knows? You got Texas and Oklahoma for two more years. Maybe one of those two schools comes down to Orlando and plays in the bounce house. So you're going to see some elite programs that are going to be the elite teams, and that gives an opportunity for fans to come see it. Even if you're just a college football fan, like you mentioned, it's only a 15-minute drive out there. You're out there watching good football on a Saturday afternoon. So that's the selling point I think that Gus is trying to make. So even if you're not a fan of UCF, we want you to come out and just watch good football and see what's going on. I think that's going to be a huge selling point. I think it's going to be a selling point for them for season tickets for a while now, because I think now you can say, look at what we've got going on and look who we're going to be playing against. And no offense to the American and all that, but we're going to get an opportunity to play some. Listen, the Big 12 has its duds too. Let's not forget Kansas has not necessarily been a premier football program for a long time. But, you know, I mean, at least you're still playing at a different level when you're talking about it.
I also think about, I brought this up with another guest last week. You know, during the American, it's like, okay, we're going to Tulane. We're going to these different schools, and there's 20,000 maybe, you know, fans in the stands for an away game. UCF's going to go to Oklahoma State. There'll be 70,000 people there for those games.
Yeah.
It'll be crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you got, you know, and another thing, too, that I think is going to be appealing, especially early on, is for UCF fans who travel, is their opportunities to see new venues. I mean, you're going to go to, there's a possibility that maybe you go to Austin to play Texas next year, or maybe you go to Oklahoma, Norman, you get to play in a place like that. Or maybe you go to Baylor, you go to Texas Tech, you go to Lubbock. There's going to be some locations, I think, that fans are going to be like, wow, I mean, you know, we get an opportunity to see what's going on there. And I think even the Big 12 fans, listen, I've been on radio stations for some of these teams in the Big 12 talking about UCF, and they'll ask me, like, they're excited. I mean, they want to see what this is going to bring. They want to see what kind of fans are going to turn out and see these games, because they feel like there's a real opportunity there to kind of see what's going on. And So I think it really does kind of bring an attractive option for everyone. And then, like I said, you bring these fan bases here. And let's not forget that once you're in the Big 12, that really kind of also rolls into the postseason. So you're looking at bowl games that, you know, you get a better opportunity to play a bowl game that you never had to be able to play with. Listen, if you're thinking about this, UCF can play in the Cheez-It Bowl if it really, you know, because they're a Big 12 member next year. So there are going to be some opportunities where maybe there's some bowl games, not just here in Orlando, but outside the state, that, you know, UCF is going to have an opportunity to go to that they maybe not had a chance to because of the tie-ins that the American had.
We're here with Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel. Always love getting this guy on to talk a little college football. Hey, what happened with the, like, you know, oh, we're going to expand the Big 12 or ACC might lose these teams? What happened? Was that, like, what happened here exactly?
Well, I think things just slowed down. I mean, once the Big Ten decided that, you know, it really wasn't going to expand, anymore. I think there were some talks, reports that maybe they were going to look at, the school, some other schools in the Pac-12, like the Oregons, the Stanfords, stuff like that. Once it was kind of decided that they really weren't interested in expanding to that level, I think everything almost came to a crawl. I think the Big 12 is still very interested, obviously, in some of the Pac-12 schools. I think the Pac-12 is trying to get its media rights deal together and worked out. They'll present it to the remaining member schools, and they hope they have enough there to sell them on this idea of remaining in a conference. The Big 12, obviously, if those schools aren't interested, would obviously be interested in adding, some member schools at some point. Maybe you're hearing reports of Arizona and things like that, but maybe Utah. But I think at this point, everyone's really kind of come to a crawl. I think, Notre Dame at some point has got to make a decision if their media rights deal is as lucrative as we've been hearing reports of, anywhere in the realm of $75 million, Notre Dame may just remain independent. And that will kind of put a hold on things with the Big Ten and the SEC and the ACC. And then I think then it'll just come down to how does the Pac-12 kind of work itself out. So everything just kind of came to a crawl. I mean, you saw the big moves. You saw a lot of schools and a lot of conferences trying to react to it. I also think that there was some pushback. I think the UCLA-USC deal to the Big Ten, as much as it's a great deal for the Big Ten, I think you saw a lot of people pointing to this and saying, I don't know if this is a good idea. And I think that might have maybe gave pause to some athletic directors and some school presidents who want to make sure if they're going to make a move, it's for the best for their school.
We're in Mammer Shell, Orlando Sentinel. Okay, let's go to the Gators. They're in fall camp. They're getting ready for the season. What are your expectations for year one with Billy Napier?
Well, I think you have to really keep your expectations a little lower you look at how, Billy Napier is a good coach, and this has nothing to do with Billy Napier at all. It just comes into this idea that, that first year as a head coach, it's always going to take a time of adjustment. There are going to be some positions where they're really going to have to work on, to make sure they get his system put in place. Anthony Richardson comes in. It's his first full year as a starting quarterback, it looks like. If you've got to kind of have some sort of adjustment there. Obviously, you've got a new offensive assistant coming in. The defense has to get better. The defense had its issues last year as well. And you've got new faces going in. So I think you look at Georgia coming out. Georgia's going to be the favorite in the East. I think Tennessee's much improved. I think Kentucky's going to be right there. And as you saw by the preseason rankings, a lot of people have Florida picked to finish fourth in the SEC East. So that, to me, seems kind of realistic. And listen, that first month of September, you're going to see – we'll know what this team is going to be quickly, because that Utah game is not a gimme game. I think a lot of people think that's going to be a gimme game. Utah won the Pac-12. They're a good team. Kyle Whittingham is a great coach. I think that's going to be a challenge. Then you face Kentucky, a much-improved Kentucky team, the next week. You got USF, which I think you'll be fine against. But then you go on the road at Tennessee, a very improved Tennessee team under Josh Heupel. So if Florida can handle all those games, and let's say they come out of the month of September 4-0, then, again, you've got a shot at maybe finishing a little higher. You could be second in the conference. Or maybe you got a chance to win it if something happens in that Georgia game. If you lose to Kentucky, if you lose to Tennessee, then all of a sudden, all bets are off, and you got to figure out kind of how do you come back in the next couple months.
What about Florida State with the same question then?
Well, I think Florida State is interesting to me, because I think they come out and you got Duquesne this opening game in week zero. I think that's an opportunity, to kind of get some of the kinks out of the system before you go on the road and go to LSU. It's going to be a challenge. I mean, same thing for Florida State. I think Florida State expectations got to be around. If you get to 6-7 wins, if you get up bowl eligible, I think that's the next logical step for this program. Again, a lot of new faces, but this is a team that has brought in a lot of experience. The last couple of years, they had young guys that were forced into situations they had to play early on, probably a lot sooner than they expected. Those guys now have grown into the role. I think the offense is going to be much better. The offensive line has some depth, which it hasn't had, in a long time. I think the offensive line is going to be stronger. They've got some playmakers at the receiver positions. Those guys have got to step up and assume roles. Jordan Travis is now the quarterback. There's no back and forth like they did last year. I think Jordan's going to be the guy. And then defensively, really, it comes down to, you know, who becomes that elite pass rusher, who becomes that elite presence like Jermaine Johnson was last year. You know, they need someone to step up and assume that leadership. And they need the defense to continue the momentum it gained in the last, you know, 5-6 games last year. So there's opportunities there, believe me. It's going to be tough. But, you know, they feel like with all the talent they have on this team and the fact that most of this team was together when it started spring camp, unlike any other year in the past, I think they've got a better chance of coming out and showcasing themselves if everyone stays healthy.
They're going to play at the Superdome against LSU. That game scares the hell out of me, Matt. If you're Mike Norvell, they better show up. They better show up.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, again, you know, that I will say this. I think they have an opportunity because they will have a game under their belt. So, you know, you shouldn't expect them to come out with any jitters or anything like that. They should come out and be ready to go. As long as everyone stays healthy from that first game, you know, you've got an opportunity. Guys have played a little bit. You've got your depth chart maybe a little bit more solidified. You know, LSU's got to make some changes. I mean, I think, listen, I talked to the Sugar Bowl CEO a couple weeks ago. Florida State sold out its allotment of tickets, and LSU's getting close. They feel this game's going to be sold. So there's going to be a lot of fans there. They feel like this is going to be a packed house. They feel like this is going to be the kind of game that the FSU is used to playing. This is where they've got to get back to that. And I think this is an opportunity for them. Listen, if they can get a win against LSU in New Orleans, I think that's a stepping stone type of a game that could really kind of propel them going into season. That being said, if they lose, I'm not saying the season's over, but I think you could say a lot about where this program is going based on how they perform against a team like LSU.
See, I feel like, you know, you look at the Miami Hurricanes, I think they're going to Texas A&M. I mean, if you look at Miami Twitter, they've already won national titles with Mario Cristobal with recruiting. Yeah. But, like, if they go to A&M and get embarrassed, that's not good for the program either, right?
No, it's not. But again, I mean, I always look at the fact that, you know, the hardest job out there of new coaches has got to be Miami with Mario Cristobal. And the reason I say that is he's got to get his team to manage those expectations because he's got a mountain of expectations. They're going into this season with people believing they're going to win the ACC. And they're going to be in, you know, top 10 when it's all said and done, maybe in the top 5. I'm just not sold yet on that. You know, I mean, you've got a lot of things you're going to have to do to make that happen. And I think, like I said with Billy Napier being a first-year coach, there are going to be some growing pains. And I think, you know, yes, he's got a returning quarterback in Tyler Van Dyke, who's an elite quarterback. You know, the defense that still has some holes to fill. You mentioned this. I mean, they should be 2-0 going into that A&M game. That's fine. To me, if they lose that A&M game, depending on how they lose, I mean, all that could do is can maybe help solidify what they need to do and get better, or it can, like you said, it could totally destroy them, you know, and you know, throw the rest of the season off. But there are opportunities for Miami to be in a good spot going into those late games, you know, at Florida State and at Clemson, you know, against Florida State and at Clemson. I mean, that's where, you know, if they can win the division still, and they got an opportunity, I mean, that's a big step for Mario. And I know, he's done a great job on the recruiting trail. And I think that's only going to help them. We knew that was going to happen, but I'm not sold that if they lose the A&M that it all goes downhill. I just think he's got to maybe temper those expectations because I think some fan bases believe that this team is set to go to top 5. And I'm just not sure if that's the case yet.
Matt Mershell, Orlando Sentinel, thank you so much for coming on. I promise I won't bother you until we actually play football games now, okay?
Well, it's only like in 3 weeks. What is that? Like,
I know.
Today? Like, it's like 2 weeks, right? I mean, so that's no big deal. Listen, I'm all for it. Whatever you want to talk football, I'm in.